When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And we thank you for sharing that with us.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Name, image, and likeness is here.
And I'm Bob, every player.
Open up your checkbooks a little bit more for our collective.
And I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Saints wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Coming up, ESPN senior baseball writer Jeff Passan. 49ers tight end George Kittle, plus Colts defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun first hour. And if you missed any of it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. What did we talk about? We talked about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and my friend Deion Sanders and how I think that Nick Saban is taking everything in that's being said right now as yummy rat poison. He's going to really take it out on Texas A&M. Next October. That's what's more likely. We played a game of what's more likely. Also, what's more likely, John Daly making the cut or Tiger Woods missing the cut. John Daly going to get back out there in this hour, and we'll see if he can stand upright. Based on all the heaters and peanut M&Ms and Diet Cokes and rips of the one-armed bandit he took last night. Unbelievable.
I mean, talk about incredible talent. I got to know how much Daly won or lost last night.
Everyone's got to ask. Everyone must ask these questions. PGA Championship going on in round number two. We're going to keep an eye on all of that. George Kittle's going to call into the program this hour. It's the second annual tight end university that he's up to. Yannick Ngakoue, now of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk with that. Stellar defensive player. Switching teams again. This time he's trying to get to the promised land in the AFC South now with the Indianapolis Colts, back again where he once belonged. As you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars were his first team. So we'll talk with him in hour number three. But right now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk a little baseball.
Let's do it.
I have not spoken to this man in quite some time. That's what happened when there's a lockout. On the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, one of our favorites to talk baseball with, and just favorites in general, from the worldwide leader in sports, Major League Baseball insider, Jeff Passan. How you doing, Jeff?
It's what happens when you have lockouts, and it's what happens when Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher have awesome fight in sports.
That is true. There was a little bit of a food fight in the SEC yesterday.
Pulling the curtain back. I was supposed to come on yesterday, but then that happened, and Rich called me up and said, "Hey Jeff, you got to understand what's going on." I was like, "You know what? I completely understand because it was utterly ridiculous and utterly predictable and utterly wonderful. As much as we love sports for the games, aren't we just ultimately, Rich, a bunch of people who use that as our soap operas and absolutely?" Oh, yeah. Lap it up and just enjoy it so much. I know I loved it.
Best reality TV. It's just like, you know, it was like I guess you can't spell Succession without SEC. It's basically like what it was, you know, when you think about it.
The Real Housewives of Tuscaloosa.
I appreciate your patience and now being available on this program to talk about the sport that we both love so dearly. What is the story right now, would you say, overarching story about this baseball season to date, Jeff Passan?
Well, as someone who works at a company that has occasionally been accused of coastal bias, I feel like saying New York and L.A. is kind of trite. Mm-hmm. But I live in Kansas City, Rich, so I can actually say it without being accused of having coastal bias. I am a Midwesterner born, bred, and true. And to me, the story of the baseball season is how good the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Angels are, and whether we're setting ourselves up for some kind of a coastal World Series, or if the Houston Astros or Milwaukee Brewers or somebody else can interrupt that dream. The Yankees have been the best team in baseball this year. Hasn't really been close, frankly. And they've done it because they've been healthy, because they remade the left side of their infield and catching, and because they have extremely deep pitching. And I think the job Aaron Boone, who's been so maligned, has done is phenomenal. At the same time, Buck Showalter's really helped turn around the Mets, though without Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer for upward of 2 months now, we're going to see what they're really made of. Mm. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're great. They were always going to be great. It's just a matter of, are they going to come through in October? Because they will be there. But the Angels are the most surprising team, I think, which is odd to think because they have the two best players in the world in Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, they should be good. But Major League Baseball is not the NBA where two superstars will get you to the conference finals. It's not the NFL where you need one quarterback and that'll get you into the playoffs. No, it's a sport where even with two great players, you can still be a middling, mediocre team if you don't have other elements. And the elements that the Angels have added are pitching and defense. And both of those have held up through about a quarter of the season. The question at this point is, will it hold up over the last three quarters?
And, Aaron Judge, the Yankees are also lucky to have him. And by that, I mean not just about how good he is, but I'm from New York City. I've seen many, many talented players in a Yankee uniform wilt under the pressure of either being paid or, in his case, not being or being ready to be handsomely enriched, and him saying, no, it's not enough. And those guys usually get chewed up and spat out, and he is the best he's ever been. And I'm wondering where you think that's headed, Jeff Passan, with Judge.
If Aaron Judge stays healthy, Rich, that's headed for a contract that starts with a 3. And remember, Aaron Judge turned down an extension this offseason of about $230 million that would have included this year. Would have been 8 years including this year for about $230. So a 7-year extension on top of this season. With what he's doing right now, the question is going to be just how high it goes if he can, again, stay healthy for the entire season. Because when he's out there, this has always been the case, Rich. When Aaron Judge is on the field, he's productive. He's good. Doesn't matter that he's a little older. Doesn't matter that the end of whatever contract he signs is probably not going to look particularly good. This is baseball. And the teams like the Yankees and theoretically like the Mets or the Giants or the Cubs who have money and want to go out and win are going to look at Aaron Judge's next 4 to 5 years and say, as you get into your mid-30s, this is what we're paying you for. And essentially, we're going to have more years on the back end of the contract so we can get you for the first few years. But, I spoke with someone with the Yankees earlier this year during the Judge stuff. And he essentially said, you know what? He has to go out there and illustrate that he's worth what he thinks he is. And if he does, then I understand. We took a risk. We didn't go high enough. And we will look into paying him more. And the way it's going right now, Rich, Aaron Judge has been the best hitter in baseball this season. And we see what happens when he's out there and when Giancarlo Stanton is out there and healthy. The Yankees are formidable and have an offense that's borderline devastating.
Was it guaranteed that Judge would accept that contract with a 3 from the Yankees? Or is there some sort of, to again mix sports, sort of Devontae Adams homecoming, like that he'd want to go back, you know, to the Giants or California or anything like that? Jeff?
When you perform in New York, I think this goes across all sports. When you perform in New York and are embraced by New York, it's really difficult to leave New York if New York offers you the most money or offers you somewhere in that range. So unless we have a team that's going to be excessively aggressive financially, if the Yankees are in at that price, being a Yankee for life is a thing. Like it's a thing that we, you know, we last saw with Jeter and with Bernie Williams.
DeChambeau on the weekend, no DJ
and with Mariano Rivera and with Jorge Posada.
Shaping up to a good week.
There's cachet to that. There's
no Philly.
there's just a feeling that I think those players get that are different from everyone else. When you see, and listen, this goes outside of New York too, right? When somebody spends an entire career in one uniform, it's special. In the age of free agency, it is. And if Aaron Judge were to return to the Yankees or were to sign an extension, he would more or less be guaranteeing that.
Jeff Passan from ESPN talking baseball with one of the best in the business right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is there something up with the baseball? What the hell's going on with the baseball?
There's always something up with the baseball.
Well, what's up with this year then? What's going on?
This year, I laugh because, you know, the baseball that's happening this year in terms of it's just not flying the way that it has in recent seasons was actually the baseball that was supposed to be implemented last year. But last year they used two different baseballs, and the year before they had the COVID ball, and the year before that they had the rabbit ball. Different baseballs, and maybe I laugh about it because I find the entire thing so absurd. This idea, one, that they're tinkering and tweaking with the ball every year, but two, that there's still this insistence on keeping it handmade when you can find greater consistency in a machine manufactured product. So baseball's insistence on keeping that element of it, I appreciate that. Except people have jobs, and I appreciate that Major League Baseball sustains certain parts of the economy in other countries, but man, as a baseball fan, the constant chatter about the ball has frankly become a defining part of the sport. And generally speaking, talking about balls is not something that we need to be doing every day.
Yes, sir. You know, but the general sense of the way, you know, and you see the way chatter about baseball goes. You know, I would love to have a 15-20 minute chat and deep dive into which team has a chance to maybe come out of the pack, just like any other sport. But we, you know, baseball, you can pretty much tell right now who's going to make the playoffs, who might actually be able to make that, I guess, what usual magical run that comes out of the NL Central, whether it's the Cardinals or the Brewers, right, to make some sort of a run. But that's the way it goes, and you're always talking about the state of the sport.
Baseball publicly these days is about balls and brawls. Like, that's the stuff that really gets people interested. And, as somebody who tries to be an evangelist for the sport and for all of the good things it has, I am constantly struck at how good baseball players are right now. And that goes for athletes everywhere, right? But the fact that Ohtani is doing what he's doing, he is an athletic superhero. And it's in the moment, it's kind of difficult to appreciate how great he is and how challenging what he's doing is. And to see him doing that alongside Trout, and to see all of the other players who are having these great seasons early on, it's been a fun year of baseball that I'm just glad we have, because we were at the precipice, Rich, of something really dark in the sport. And so the fact that we're almost a quarter of the way into this season, and we know there's going to be baseball for the next 5 years, it's something I do not take for granted.
Of that new collective bargaining agreement was, I guess, the formation of a competition committee of some sort. And the only reason why I ask about that is I can't wait for the shift to be totally dismantled. I'm sick and now I'm seeing four outfielders sometimes. And it's absurd. It's absurd. And again, like Joey Gallo is the perfect example.
Yep.
Okay, he is the perfect example. He is a guy who the Yankees traded, you know, prospects for in the middle of the year last year.
Good prospect.
And the guy isn't even close to the Mendoza line. He strikes out, he walks, or he homers. That's about it. Like, if he singles,
it's
the unicorn.
It's really funny to hear Yankees fans talk about Joey Gallo. And it's one of those reputations that players get. I don't know what at this point he could do. Like, he's got to hit a big playoff homer or something to get back.
No, but Jeff, he's the personification of what I think is happening to this sport, where everybody throws 100 miles an hour and everybody strikes out. So what are we doing?
He's the king of the three true outcomes: home runs, walks, and strikes.
Correct.
And
Every team's got one. That's what I'm saying.
No, every team's got five of them.
Right,
and,
right.
And baseball turning into that sport, I think that there are going to be elements that are both natural and enforced that write that. And one thing I'm super interested to see come into play, mm-hmm. and it's not guaranteed yet, but is the pitch clock. Because, you know, baseball's criticisms, particularly among the younger generation, are it's slow, it's too long. It's just, there's a pitch clock in the minor leagues this year, Rich. It's 14 seconds when there's nobody on base, and 18 or 19, depending on the level, when someone is on base. The average game time in the minor leagues is down 25 minutes this year, while scoring and hitting are about stagnant and equal, and stolen bases are higher because they've limited the number of pickoff moves before a pitcher is called for a balk. So guys are running a lot more. Getting action back into the game, getting pace back into the game, and knowing that you're not going to be going to the ballpark for a 3.5-hour nightmare that's going to get you home so far past your kid's bedtime, it makes you not want to go. That's a good thing. And as much as I understand the people who say baseball is a game played without a clock, and as alluring as that is to longtime baseball fans, to me, the benefits there are enormous. And the reality is, adapt or die. Like, that is what we do as human beings, and that's what baseball needs to do as a sport.
Westward One Sports presents this special report on the 104th PGA Championship,
you know, the five-yard truck rule.
By Dell. For your small
they changed the defensive
needs,
rules. They changed them, and it's like, well, that's too much that benefits the offense. Well, there's not enough that benefits the offense in baseball right now. Not even close to it. Because the pitchers are not the ball, not the arms of the pitchers. And then, you know, before I let you go, Jeff, you're not aware because we're on the phone, but I have been holding your hand and staring at you this entire time. And, you know, that's the Bellino in me. And what came of that? And what can baseball do? I mean, about something like that? That was absurd. That was beyond absurd. And he skated. He basically said nothing after the game. And then 2 days later put out a statement talking about how he should umpire like his kids are in the stands, and he apologized. But still nothing about why he did that. At all.
From Southern Hills Country Club, I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One Sports.
For why it's not right, but Madison Bumgarner had been chirping at the umpire who was behind the plate that night, and Dan Bellino is somebody who likes to stand up for the integrity of umpires because they are, quite frankly, under attack all the time, like they are. Now, that's part of the job, part of the hazard of the job. And they are very nicely compensated and have great lives and jobs because of it. But, you know, Madison Bumgarner has a reputation as somebody who speaks back to umpires. And Bellino took it too far. And it was wrong. And I think he was reprimanded for it. But this constant thing between players and umpires, I was looking that day, Rich, at the first instances of umpires being razzed by fans. And the history of umpires is interesting. At first, they were looked at as, oh, my God, it's wonderful to have them around. They're such paragons of virtue and great character. Within 5 years, umpires were hated, and this was back in the 1870s. So we've been hating on umpires for 150 years now, and nothing has changed. You want to talk about part of the game? Despising umpires is part of baseball that pretty much everyone can agree upon. And it keeps the world turning, Rich Eisen. And you know what? If you want to stare into my eyes and hold my hand, you can do it anytime you'd like. I hope Susie doesn't get mad, though.
That's very well. I appreciate that, Jeff. No, she understands. That sounded like that scene in Forrest Gump where we looked back generations of Lieutenant Dan's family members, right? Yep. One after another who passed away in war. And I feel that way that now it's just like Joe West's great great grandfather was hated on by old Ross Hadburn's kid, you know, like it's makes me feel bad for even bringing it up.
Really,
but
just throw an old Hoss reference.
I did.
I think you called him old Ross.
I did. I don't call him old Ross Hadburn is what I called him, which is the exact
great
wrong thing.
Spoonerism. I'll take it.
Thank you. Take care of yourself, Jeff Passan. Greatly appreciate it.
See you, Rich. Have a good one.
The great Jeff Passan at Jeff Passan on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. George Kittle's about to call in, but I want to take a couple minutes here about what Jeff just said, saying that the pitch clock is going to speed things up and cause action. Right. And he said that you could see that the game is shorter with a pitch clock, a 14-second pitch clock that's going down in the minor leagues. And also that he said, though, that the pace of play might be affected by the pitch clock because the game's shorter. But he said that the action is the same. And I understand. But having a 2.5 hour game, 2 hour and 40 minute game is better than, as he pointed out, you know, you're going to get you go to Dodger Stadium, first pitch, 7 o'clock. If you're home by 10:30, 11 o'clock, and if it's a school night for a kid, like I understand, you'd say, you know what, I'll just watch it at home. And he can watch, she can watch the first 6 innings and then go to bed.
Right.
Right. I mean, but I'll say this, instead of making the game shorter, make it more active. My kids, when they watch a game, aren't complaining about how long the game is. They're complaining about how slow the game is.
Nothing happens.
The Reds just threw a we didn't talk about this.
I know.
The Reds threw a combined no-hitter and lost. And the way that they lost was on a fielder's choice on somebody who reached on a walk and got around the bases due to outs.
And scored.
And who wants that? Nothing happened in the game. Hey, you were there for a no-hitter. Really? The team lost. How? That's what's happening.
Right.
We need action. We need somebody who laces one to right center field to get on base because that's what a hit looks like and has always been, but not because there's a third baseman stationed out in right center field.
Yeah, who cares if the game is 25 minutes shorter if it's still home run,
walk,
strikeout, walk.
Right. We want somebody that's sending one to the left center field gap to be standing on second, if not third base, not running back to the dugout because a fourth outfielder's been put out there.
Yeah.
Come on. If you loosen the defensive rules up, that's the way you're going to get action. And if the game lasts 3 hours and 5 minutes or whatever, there wasn't a single, and I understand it's playoffs and what have you, I haven't heard a single complaint of how long that Calgary Flames 9-6 win took the other night.
Right.
All I'm hearing about, that was insane.
Yeah, 15 goals.
Oh, but it was so long. You know, it took forever. No. Action, not length of games. And if you shorten the games and you get more action in it, well, then that's what we're talking about. I kind of like that there's no clock. That's the beautiful thing. I like sitting there. I like just chilling. My kids like watching a game at home because we're just sitting there around as a family just chit-chatting until some of them get out of hand. Let's take a break. George Kittle's going to join us next. Tight End University, number 2. And they've got a presenting sponsor now. This is big-time stuff. Of course, we'll talk 49ers with George Kittle when we come back. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, love this guy, and not just because of what he does, and it's how he does it, too. And he and Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen have once again gotten together and called a bunch of tight ends saying, let's have a tight end university, it's called, in Nashville. It's going to be June 22nd to the 24th. He is a perennial Pro Bowler and an outstanding human, and I love having him on the show. Back here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, San Francisco 49er tight end George Kittle. How you doing, George?
Rich, you know, every time I get on the phone with you, I swear you just give me a better introduction each and every time.
Well, you're worthy of it. You're worthy of it.
Is it because of what I do on the field, or is it because we're friends?
I think it's the latter. You know, obviously the field stuff helps, but I just envision, you know what I envision? I envision smoke and the tunnel coming out of smoke, you know, every single time you come on the show on the phone line. That's the way I view it. That's the way I see it.
My hair's down and we're ready to roll.
if somebody's got to have hair down in this conversation, that won't be me. Can't be me. Although that would be a hell of a look.
I'll send you we got to have you some hair next time you throw the give me an introduction, you can get the hair back.
Yeah, I left my extensions out today, George, just for this conversation. So Tight End University, wait for it, presented by Charmin. Hey.
Hey.
Look at that.
Not bad, eh?
You got a sponsor.
Yes, we do. We got a couple sponsors.
Okay. This is a presenting sponsor, though. A presenting sponsor.
I mean, like, we're able to work with some incredible people. Mm-hmm. We got Charmin, who always has your backside.
Yeah. Yes.
Charmin loves to protect those tight ends.
Okay. That's right. That's a natural sponsor, the presenting sponsor.
Why would you not get some Levi's jeans to protect those tight ends?
Oh,
Levi's is here too, baby.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you play in the Field of Jeans. That's your home stadium, the Field of Jeans.
Exactly. You know? And then, you know what? Why not, on top of that, why not quench your thirst with some nice, refreshing, cool Bud Light? Wow.
Fantastic. Wow.
They're incredible. But you know what the nice one is the local Nashville, Tennessee, Bridgestone. It's coming apart, and they're going to help us out, too.
Damn.
We're all over the
Look
board.
At you. Tight End University.
Yeah, and, you know, they're allowing us to bring in anywhere, you know, our goal is to get up to, we had 49 guys last year come down for Tight End U, and we're going, trying to get around 80 to 100.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know we're working on all that, you know, throwing invites out left and right, announcing the day. It's going to be a big deal. We're looking forward to it. Vanderbilt University got more space, practice fields. What more could you ask for than a bunch of tight ends running around in Nashville, Tennessee?
Tight End University presented by Charmin. And so does that mean when we go over the run of show about what you're doing, do we go from front to back or from back to front, George? Wow. What do we do when we discuss the Tight End University presented by Charmin?
No, it's more it's player's choice.
Are we standing or sitting at Tight End University presented by Charmin? What are we doing?
You know, there's going to be actually a lot of both. You're going to be on the field a little bit.
Okay.
Guys will be up standing in front, you know, talking through routes. You know, but guys will also be chilling, doing some rehab and recovery stuff. That's a big focus of Tight End U. We bring in therapists from, some are coming from California, some are based in Nashville, some are from Atlanta. You know, just bring people up and give guys options and, like, hey, there's more that you can do than just, you know, deal with whatever the team provides you. You can go out there and get a little bit extra. Well, so that's a big part of Tight End U as well.
I love it, man. I mean, I'm just doing the math in my head here. So you're saying if you're pushing 100 and there's 32 NFL teams and let's just say there's three tight ends on a roster, are you inviting guys who are not in the league or young up-and-comers? I mean, who are you identifying to get to Tight End University, George?
So our initial was because I think if you look at every tight end that was on a roster at some point, whether it was practice squad or active, it's like over 150, which I just don't, at this point of Tight End U, I don't know if we can sustain 150.
Right.
So we're doing like guys that were active last year on a team. And so those invites are in the process of getting sent out. A lot of guys have been invited already though. But we'll wait to see, you know, what the numbers look like, and then, you know, if there's availability, they'll get out to the rookies, and if there's availability, we got all the practice squad guys, and, you know, like I said, hopefully we have about, you know, 80 guys. That'd be the dream.
And so, again, just for those who are wondering, what you're just going to be for 2-3 days, like a symposium, talking about the position, hanging out, just chit-chatting. There's actual classroom time and things like that,
yeah,
for real.
So what's really cool, I'll give you a little sneak peek.
Please.
Too. So I got a couple little, like, nice little nuggets to drop as well. So basically, you know, Wednesday night, everyone comes in. We have a little rooftop printed out. Guys get to know each other, introduce, you know, if you want to have a drink, have a nice dinner. Then Thursday and Friday are pretty similar, where we have, we'll have some presentations. This year we're inviting the NFL legends back. That's a new part of Titan U. We have Dallas Clark coming into town.
Nice.
I think Tony G is going to be there for about a day and a half. He's working on, you know, getting out a day early from his family vacation, bless his heart. And Mr. Kelsey is talking to Antonio Gates.
Oh,
so we're trying to bring some legends back, watch some film with them, just learn a little bit.
That's so cool.
I might have to do a presentation on run blocking. That's kind of my favorite thing. But, we'll have some guys presenting that stuff. Listen to Greg Olson again, talk about routes, Travis Kelsey talk about routes. And then we'll do some field work, just some releases, get a nice sweat going, running some routes, catching the ball. And, like, you know, and who better to throw these footballs, Rich, than some NFL quarterbacks?
Oh, who's coming?
And,
who you got?
You know, my number one guy that I got confirmed, Trey Lance.
Okay.
I convinced my guy Trey Lance to come down.
Okay.
You know, work on a couple other guys. You know, I don't want to spoil the surprise and guys that haven't 100% committed yet, but Zach Wilson's a maybe, so maybe we can peer pressure him to finally confirming that he's going to come.
Well, he's got two. He's got not one, but two new tight ends through free agency and one exactly. by draft. He's got to get on the page, man.
Exactly.
He's got to be there.
Well, get to know them all, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I assume he's
on him. You know, I got my long-term friend CJ Beathard's coming just because he's from Nashville. He'll be
sure.
there. Man, potentially Nick Mullins, one of my boys from the Niners, who's out with the
Big
Raiders.
Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there's a couple other ones we're working on, and just, you know, letting them confirm when they need to confirm. But you know, it's going to be quite a show this year.
George Kittle here on the outset of the second annual, now let's call it that, if you can do it every year now like that, and it's presented by Charmin, Tight End University, June 22nd through the 24th here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you say Trey Lance is coming to throw. Hey, George, you know, this is the narrative that's out there, and as you know, I traffic in narratives. That's what I do here on this program, is that Trey Lance isn't ready. Jimmy G's still on the team as a hedge. That he's not going to be the guy. The Niners aren't just going to turn the page to him. I disagree. I have an actual 49er who is bringing Trey Lance to his tight end university. I'm asking you, what can you tell everyone about Trey Lance and his readiness to be your week one starter this fall, George?
Oh, I mean, if that's how it shakes down and Trey Lance is the starter, I'm excited about it. The things that he brings to the table and his athleticism and his rocket cannon of an arm, it's going to be really fun, and it'll also be interesting. I mean, it's going to be a completely different quarterback than Jimmy G, you know, he's great on his drop, he's quick release. You know, Trey's going to be a little bit more exciting, where in the fact that, like, he's going to be extending plays a lot longer and, you know, using his legs to, you know, make up some stuff. So I'm looking forward to it, because it's going to be I feel like it's going to be a different offense with Trey at the helm, and it's something I'm looking forward to, and just the opportunities that comes with that, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, I mean, I spoke to him just before the Super Bowl on this show, George, and I asked him, you know, how much better he can get and what will make him better, and he's like, reps. Like, just the simple thing is reps. And I could see, like, he was kind of itching to basically say, this is my job, you know, and I want it, and I should have it, and I'm going to have it. He just couldn't say that sort of thing, obviously, but I felt that from him. I'm wondering
you just know how to read people, don't you?
I feel that way, George. I'm a reader, but
yeah,
but I'm keep hearing from people calling the show and talking about, well, he can't be the guy. He's not the guy. If he was the guy, he would have shown it last year. So on and so forth. What do you say to that sort of thing?
I mean, last year he was a 21-year-old rookie.
Right.
You know, like you said, he just needs reps, and he's getting those reps right now at OTAs. He's going to be throwing the ball a lot. And you know, once he's comfortable with Coach Shanahan's system, you know, because it's a lot going on. It's hard to play quarterback. I'm excited to see Trey Lance play football because of things I do see in practice, the throws that he does make, how he extends the plays, just his vision.
The only cut I really have left is Rory.
Whether there's growing pains or not, it's going to be a fun night because of the things that he can't.
Well, someone who can help you for the growing pains is someone like yourself, and you know where I'm going to go with this, George. I telegraph my passes. You know, people can return them.
Pick six just waiting to happen.
I stare down my receiver, and that receiver's Debo. Have you spoken to him? What's going on with him, George? What can you tell
me? You know what? I did talk to Debo a couple days ago.
And? What do you got for me?
He was hanging out with his newborn baby, just hanging out with his family, working out.
Mm-hmm.
Between us, right. No one else. I didn't ask him anything about his contract. You know, I just said, hey, Debo, we love you here, and whatever's going on, wish you the best of luck. And then we talked about other things like shoes and stuff like that because we both love sneakers.
Debo's, I got it. So shoes and footwear, I get it. The scent. What can you then? All right, then let me ask you this: what can you tell me the narrative that he doesn't like living
golf
up there?
Pretty much
he just
entire
wants
way.
To get out of there. He can't
there's a couple
be there.
Par threes on the front nine.
Did you ever get
got
a sense
me a little
like
bit, but
him? George.
Overall, just really, really pleased with how the round went.
Mean,
and, nice to get off to a good start
here,
in the major
so I totally understand that vibe. I understand it. You know, like, if Debo wants to play for the Niners, he'll play for the Niners. If he doesn't, I wish him the best of luck wherever he goes. Debo's a hell of a football player. He's a great human being. So, you know, it's whatever he wants to do. You know, he's not angering anybody here on the team. We're not distracted by anything that he's doing. It's his decision. We'd love to have him back. And if he doesn't want to, we'll all support him wherever he wants to go. So, and it's not really too much of an issue for us, but... No, like I said, Debo's a hell of a football player. Obviously, we'd love to have him.
All right, and while you're being my my information man, how's your boy Big Bobby Tonyan? Is he going to be a TEU presented by Charmin? We're going to see him?
Oh,
how's he doing?
Bobby T will be there in force. He's looking forward to it as well.
Good. He's well? He's doing well in his rehab?
Yeah, he's been – it was awesome. I got to do – because we live in Nashville together, and we both go to the same rehab facility. Uh-huh. Our PT guy, Jorge, great guy.
Yeah.
But he I got to watch his whole rehab process this whole offseason, and I was very excited to see the progress he made, especially coming off the ACL and ahead of schedule, moving well. So I know he's chomping at the bit to get back out there because I feel like, you know, he wasn't allowed to do what he's capable of doing. And, last year's season got cut short. And I know he's really excited about it, and he's got a good mindset. He's ready to be up there. I mean, hey, if Aaron Rodgers loses Devontae Adams, just throw the ball to Bobby T.
And I guess, and before I let you go here, in terms of tight ends and you, and again, Kittle, you and Kelsey and Greg Olsen being at the forefront of this thing and the tight end position becoming more and more prominent, and thanks to you having your own week during the season, right? Where would Greg Olsen, and it looks like this is going to happen, calling a Super Bowl rank in terms of the tight end journey, where would that rank for Greg Olsen calling a Super Bowl for Fox, which it looks like that's going to happen?
George. You know, I think that's a great thing for tight ends. I think it's also showing the personality that, you know, tight ends have. You know, we're not just out there goofy guys who love to run block and hit guys, bounce off guys, score touchdowns and spike the ball. You know,
right. We
got some intellectual sides to us as well. And you put Greg Olsen up there, he crushes it every time he's on screen. He's incredibly over-prepared at all times. He's clever, witty. I mean, that's what you want in a guy. And I can't wait to watch. You know, honestly, I can't wait to watch, like, the replay because hopefully I'm the one playing in the Super Bowl.
Ah. That'd
be the goal.
Yeah. I love that. With Trey Lance as your quarterback, if need be, if so
some
be.
Some would say.
Right? Some would say. Hey, George, congrats on this, man. I love watching you do your thing and seeing it grow. Clearly, this is going to happen every single year. And I'm happy for you and everyone else that does it. You're all good people, man. Thanks for the time. You take
care. I appreciate you. You're always my favorite, but don't tell anybody else that, okay?
Yeah, I know that. I can't wait to hear you on some other shows and you say the same damn thing, George.
Maybe, but probably not.
Well, they wouldn't say the word Charmin as much as I did, that's for sure.
No, it's like you know what you're doing or something, man.
Well, you know what? I'm soft and two-ply as well, George. I'm the soft and two-ply host of the Rich Eisen Show. That's me, George. You know?
I don't know. You seem pretty expensive, not going to lie.
Thank you so much. George Kittle, everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love that guy.
Very perceptive, George Kittle.
Love him. He's not having Trey Lance throw if Trey Lance isn't his starting quarterback, Christopher Brockman.
And he can be the starting quarterback all he wants.
I have nothing to do with this.
And this is what I was getting into.
Hold on, let's take a break. Before you enrage more 49er fans for you to block.
I got nothing to do with this, man.
No, let's get into this. And then there's some phone calls before Yannick Ngakoue joins us in hour number three. And TJ's big-ass grab bag gets opened up. That's coming up.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, all one big happy family. We knew this guy would get smoked out eventually whenever there's anything SEC related. And if Nick Saban's having a food fight with Jimbo Fisher, sideline Mike has got his napkin tucked into his shirt and his knife and fork ready to wield. What's up, sideline Mike in Atlanta?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, Mike. TJ Bachman, Del Tufo.
Hey, Mike. Everybody else. What's up?
What's going on, man? Now, I have been in the Big Bad SEC since 1977. And when you look at when the adults got in the sandbox yesterday and started whining and crying and doing all this, Nick Saban never allows a loss to kind of get away from him. Now, gentlemen, when we start practice in August, let me tell you a place, a city you don't want to be near for the next 14, 15 weeks at Tuscaloosa, Alabama. At the end of the day, when the whining, crying czar and god of football is standing on top of this thing again, he's going to remember, as you say, Rich, all this rat poison.
Yeah.
Because he's using it. The practice is going to be, if you thought the practices were tough at Alabama, you wait till this fall, baby. And when I tell you, let me tell you where I want to be. I want to have those cameras, Rich, inside each locker room on October the 8th in Tuscaloosa. Let me tell you something, brother. They're not going to be standing there in the middle of the field while the team's warming up, exchanging words and small talk. And I'm going to tell you, if Brother Nick can hang a number on Jimbo on October the 8th, it might be 100 to whatever. But, brother, this is going to be, as you say, Rich, one of the greatest content producers of all time.
That's right. I agree with you. Sideline Mike, thanks for the call. You understand what I'm saying. You too. You understand what I'm saying about this is rat poison. Yeah. Nick's hearing this because the subtext of this is Nick's, the game's passing him by, and he's complaining. He's going to go down. Saban, we all thought, would just go down hoisting trophies and winning games and departing whenever he damn well pleases. The subtext of this is games passing him by and it's going to shove him out the door because everybody's got the level playing field and Alabama's collective isn't as good as Texas A&M's. And now the game's about getting kids and paying them. Mm-hmm. And Nick won't do that or can't do that or isn't doing it as well as other people. And game's passing him by and that's how he's going to go. Right? Rat poison. He's taking it in. This is going to keep going, too, because there are going to be SEC media days, and it's going to come up. It's going to come up. It's going to come up.
Sideline Mike's like Pete Alonso, man. He's always going yard.
That's right.
Always like going yard. Just like the polar bear.
Whoever, I mean, Saban's going to be asked this again, right? So quit asking, right? He's going to treat everyone like Maria Taylor. Quit asking.
Is there like some coaches meeting, too, at some point, Rich?
Yeah. They have to first things first. They got to go in a room together. Oh, yeah. How you doing, Jimbo? What's up?
That's like coming up soon.
Man. Now he had to be a fly on the wall there.
You know what it would be? If I was Nick walking in the room, I would take a water bottle, I'd put it on the floor, and I'd say, I'm walking on water. See? How you doing, Jimbo?
Just like lean into it.
Lean into it. Just lean into Absolutely. It. There's an elephant in the room. Yeah. It's Alabama's elephant.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That is what's up.
Gosh, yeah. Coming and walking in the room.
I mean,
everyone's quiet. It's like needle ripping off the record. The old school E.F. Hutton moment, right? Nick's in the room, takes out water, puts it down. He walks on it. See, I can walk on water.
I'm walking on water, all right?
Aight. You know he's rolling when his level of ights gets going.
Yeah.
He had a few ights going on the other night.
He had a few ights the other night.
He did. If George Kittle is bringing Trey Lance to tight end university, that's his quarterback. He's not bringing Trey Lance to tight end university just to give him reps. That's his quarterback.
But George isn't the coach. How's he know?
He knows. Because that's already been covered. The conversation everyone in that building knows. We're all the people looking in having no idea. Everyone in that building knows it's Trey Lance's gig and Jimmy's gone. Jimmy's way gone. Jimmy's finished. Jimmy's not coming back. Jimmy's not coming.
Jimmy.
They all know it. They all know it. They love Jimmy. No one's pushing Jimmy out. They love Jimmy. Jimmy's gone.
Jimmy's going to get you, Kramer.
Jimmy's gone.
And that's totally fine. And it's totally fine that Trey Lance can be the starter next year.
Yes.
Doesn't mean he's ready.
Oh, there's going to be turbulence. There always is when it's a guy going for the first time. It's so rare that it isn't. Mahomes, Russ, Ben, Big Ben, right? It's the ones that don't have the turbulence in their first go-round as a starter. They're so few and far between, you can remember them. So that was the issue when they traded up to go get Trey Lance and knew it was going to have to come at some point. And the fact that it didn't happen last year, well, that means he's not good enough. They blew all those draft choices just to go get him, huh?
That could be the case.
I'm not saying it's not, but to say that it is going to be now is absurd.
But also, like, you think the 49ers make the playoffs next year, right?
I sure do, yeah.
Okay, so traditionally half the playoff teams don't make it year to year.
Correct.
So who doesn't make it in the NFC?
I have a few weeks to figure that out. So, I'm not doing that right now off the top of my head with a few minutes left in the hour. I'm not doing that.
Dallas, are they out? Arizona, are they out? Philly, are they out?
Well, he already said he believes Dallas is worse now than they were at the end of the season.
Yes, and Philly's much better.
Yeah, it would make sense that you would
better get ready. You better get ready.
For what?
Because those are the teams. Because we all think Green Bay, Tampa, and the Rams will be back.
That Dallas isn't the best team in that division anymore.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Okay.
No, it does not compute.
The Eagles are better. Constructed, they just it's so Jalen Hurts dependent, it's not funny.
Yeah,
settle down just a little bit.
I know.
Thank you, Unc.
He had to charge.
I know. That's a hot take, but just take a look at the roster as it's constructed.
Rich, no one's ever won a game in May. Okay, let's see what it looks like when we hit the field.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, that I do know for a fact. No one's ever won.
That was an Arians bind, wasn't it?
No, that was
it's my Uncle Jerry.
It's Jerry.
You sure?
Yeah, watch.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
I'm putting up a poll.
Let's take a break.
Chris,
Yannick Ngakoue, do it. Put up a poll. Go for it. Do it. At Rich Eisen Show. Do it. I encourage it highly. Let's see what the people think. The people that you blocked left and right.
I don't block, I mute.
He mutes. Yeah,
by the way, good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
I don't understand the blocking.
Blocking means they can't see your content. I still want them to consume me. I just don't want to see their responses.
What's the point of blocking? I'd rather mute you. Mute is so much better.
Mute is so much better.
You also don't know that you've been muted.
See, that's why blocking is better, because I want to let you know.
I don't care. You no longer have access to my content.
Yeah,
I'd rather mute you. Because I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'll mute you.
Exactly. Here's the poll. Which team in the NFC most likely misses the playoffs this year? Cowboys, Cardinals, Eagles, 49ers.
Every single time the Cowboys are put in a poll question, he sighs because it's anti-Cowboy.
Oh, yeah,
but then there's all the zombies, all the Cowboy zombies. who take your tickets in your town when you no-show. They take your tickets.
Oh, they buy them up. Oh,
they lap them up.
Make money.
They drink your no-show milkshake.
This year.
They drink it up.
Rent-free in your heads. Rent-free in your heads.
Rent-free.
No, do we have the milkshake? I drink your milkshake. Didn't I have you?
Your milkshake.
Didn't I have you cut that a long time ago?
Hang on.
I drink it up.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
One of the best lines in movie history.
Yeah, I mean, but you
Cowboys drink your milkshake.
You understand that being a Yankees fan, because it's the same thing.
Your milkshake.
I
drink it up.
Oh, yes.
What a psycho.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And he retired, right? He's not doing acting
anymore. I think
he's
out. He just walked away.
What more can he do?
I don't know. Let's put it this way. He left it all out on the floor, man.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can the man do?
I played Lincoln.
He did leave it out there, man.
I mean,
did you see my left foot?
In the name of the father. Was he in that?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was.
Father, I mean, right? Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
Only thing he needs to do now is play like a superhero and then...
Oh, God, yeah.
That's it. That's
in
all
the Marvel
left.
Universe.
Well, you know? He's sneaky tall, 6'2".
Oh, is he real? I mean, he played Lincoln.
Yeah, he had to, yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis is Reed Richards. Remake the Fantastic Four. Put him in there. Boom.
Three Oscars.
Oof.
He's got three in the case?
Three in the case.
Damn.
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Behind Hepburn.
Lincoln, My Left
My Foot.
Winner.
Amazing.
My Left Foot.
Oof. Okay, let's take a break. Yannick Ngakoue. And then there is apparently some Baker Mayfield news to tell you about in hour number three, and certainly some Watson news on top of it.